Blog Talk Radio.
B-I-B-L-E, that's by Go Fish, and you're listening to me, Melissa Cantola, on Truth Be Told Radio. And what we got up next for you is a song. This one is by Shy Lynn, and this one is called All Consuming Fire. This is from the album Attributes of God. Thanks for listening to Truth Be Told Radio.
The glory of God not honored, the holiness of God not reverenced, the greatness of God not admired, the power of God not praised, the truth of God not sought, the wisdom of God not esteemed, the beauty of God not treasured, the goodness of God not savored, the faithfulness of God not trusted, the commandments of God not obeyed, the justice of God not respected, the wrath of God not feared, the grace of God not cherished, the presence of God not prized, the person of God not loved. That is sin.
Towards the evil he abhors, and cats who don't respect him will receive his lethal sword. The mass prefers pleasures that sin easily affords. Our blasphemous passions are the reason we at war. We should be in awe, his sweetness should keep us floored. Sin's radical infection is the reason we get bored. Repeatedly we snore, he's frequently ignored. We explore evil lust, leaving us greedy for more. The master's recollection of our evil he records. We have zero protection because he is keeping score. It's bad for every section, there's no passing his inspection, cause we're lacking the perfection that we need to be secure. Everlasting dissection, the unbelievers reward. Disaster for rejection of the truth, Jesus is Lord. Lord.
Once again, that was All Consuming Fire by Shylin from his album called A Tribute to God. And next, we're going to do another tribute to God. This is called The Lord of Patience by Shylin. Thanks for listening to Truth Be Told Radio.
Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. It's because of his righteousness that we pray you receive this. Lord, you're holy, we shouldn't even be in your presence. Due to our sin, we don't deserve the least of your blessings. But through the cross and believing that Jesus is risen, even the worst of sinners can be redeemed and forgiven. I'm living proof when I say this, and these are truthful statements. You're beautiful when displaying your unusual patience. You take the blasphemous, pridefully stuck in our blindness, instead of smashing us, decided to love us with kindness. Even with unbelievers facing its error, you slow up, like when you waited patiently in the era of Noah. We know that with you a day is just like a thousand years. So does that mean for every sin you cry a thousand tears? Who can record your graces, adored through scores of ages? Your reward is the nations, for you are the Lord of patience. Praise you, Lord.
Lord of patience, yes. You are the God we deserve. Christ is taken, yes. Gracious God, you are. All the way that I am. You are the patience, yes. Lord of patience, yes.
Lord, we worship you. We know that everything we owe you. And when we reflect on the time before we came to know you, how we were unbelievers, committing tons of treason. We had 100 reasons why we wouldn't come to Jesus, but they were all excuses, because our thoughts were useless. That's what the dark produces. Father, you already knew this. We were foolish and clueless, just as ruthless as Judas. Who knew that you would choose to pursue us and move to woo us? So after waiting with patience as we would run from you, you activated our faith so that we would come to you. Your law exposed our sins so that we would know the danger and take refuge in the only Savior who's slow to anger. And as our teary eyes beheld the cross of our King, we understood the true meaning of long suffering. Who can record your graces, adored through scores of ages? Your reward is the nations, for you are the Lord of patience. So patient, Lord. The thing that is amazing to us is that you still continue to display your patience to us through all our stumbles and falls and our idolatry, through all our grumbling and all of our hypocrisy, our self-righteousness with brothers and sisters we're hostile, our unforgiveness, all because we're just missing the gospel. We should be slow to anger, but your word was slow to hear it. Oh Father, help us please, we truly need your Holy Spirit. He is the only person who can shake this fruit within us. We praise the risen Savior who is able to present us, Jesus, without an ounce of blame, with zero doubt or shame. Lord Jesus, down you came from heaven to announce your reign in the hearts of your people, and now we have the truth, and gladly choose to praise you for all of your attributes. Who can record your graces, adored through scores of ages? Your reward is the nations, for you are the Lord of patience.
Lord of patience.
Lord of patience.
I'm loving how you are. The Lord of patience,
the Lord of patience,
you are the God we deserve. Christ is taken.
Meet Mr. Nice Guy. You think you're nice?
this guy is really nice.
Well, I try to do what's right.
He's so nice that if good people get to heaven, he'll be the first in line.
Ah, shucks.
So, Mr. Nice Guy, have you kept the Ten Commandments?
Pretty much.
Do you mind if we take a look at them and maybe see how nice you really are?
Okay.
Great. Here's one. You shall not lie. Mr. Nice Guy, have you ever told a lie?
Well, yeah. Who hasn't?
What do you call somebody who tells lies?
A liar.
All right. How about another commandment? You shall not steal. Have you ever stolen anything, even once?
Nope.
But you just told me you're a liar.
Well, I did steal some candy once when I was a kid.
And what do you call someone who steals?
A thief.
All right, let's try another one. You shall not commit adultery.
Oh, that's easy. I'd never cheat on my wife.
Hi, handsome.
Oh, baby!
Jesus said, if you even look at a woman with lust, you've already committed adultery with her in your heart.
Oh, right.
One more. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Have you ever used God's name to curse?
Oh, my!
That, Mr. Nice Guy, is called blasphemy. God gave you life and breath and everything you have, and you've dragged his name through the dirt. So, by your own admission, you're a liar, a thief, a blasphemer, and an adulterer at heart. And that's just four of the Ten Commandments.
Okay, so I'm not perfect.
Well, actually, it's worse than that. Suppose we could put a chip in your brain that would record all your private thoughts for an entire week and then play those thoughts on a giant movie screen for all your friends and family to see.
That would be embarrassing.
Yeah, I know. The Bible says God knows everything, even the secret thoughts of your heart.
Well, compared to some people, I'm a saint.
Yeah, that's true. But the standard is God's law, not other people. Besides, even if you sin just five times a day in 1 year, that's 1,825 sins. And if you live to be 70 years old, you'll have broken God's law over 127,000 times. You'll have to answer for every sin on Judgment Day, when the Bible says each of us will give an account of himself to God.
But God will forgive me, right?
Well, let's try that in court.
Hey, look, I know I keep breaking the law, but hey, catch up, well, you know, just let it slide.
Only a corrupt judge would buy that. A good judge would say,
justice demands that you pay for your crimes.
God's not a corrupt judge. He's a holy, righteous judge. He hates sin. Jesus warned that on Judgment Day, everyone who had sinned against God would justly end up in a terrible place called hell, and there will be no escape for all eternity.
Well, then, how can anybody get to heaven?
There's only one way. God loved the world so much that he sent his son Jesus to live a perfect life. He never sinned, not even once. Then, Jesus offered to take the punishment for guilty sinners. He was whipped and beaten and nailed to a cross and died so that justice would be served and sinners could go free. Then Jesus rose from the grave and defeated death. You can't earn eternal life. It's God's gift to everyone who will humble themselves and come to Jesus. He'll forgive you, wash you clean, and give you a new heart with new desires. The Bible says if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. So stop living for yourself. Turn from your sin and come to Jesus. Then read your Bible and obey it. Find a good church to help you grow. And then go out and tell other people the good news.
Each week, we send out a free ministry update, and it contains a short video clip. Ray finds colorful characters, he witnesses to them, and then I chalk talk the clip. Here's some samples.
Do you believe in God?
Of course.
I believe God actually learns through us.
There's a heaven right here.
Multiple times a day, God hugs me.
What planet are you living on?
I have no problem standing before the Lord as I am.
After seeing new clips each week and understanding the biblical principles behind them, you will end up saying, I could do that. There's no charge for the update. Just go here and sign up here, and we'll send it to you every week.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only forgotten son.
Also, while you're there, check out the School of Biblical Evangelism.
The School of Biblical Evangelism is a full-blown online evangelism course. It'll help you overcome your fears. It'll help give you the answers to the 100 most commonly asked questions and objections to the Christian faith.
What you just heard there, that was from livingwaters.com, livingwaters.com. And you're listening to me, Melissa Canchola, on Truth Be Told Radio. And our website is truthbetoldradio.com, truthbetoldradio.com. And next, I got a song for you called A Simple Love Story. And this is another one from Shylan. Thanks for listening.
Running ball in the gym, a 4-year scholarship to UM, a term doing work, nobody could see him, sophomore year, things got complex for Jim, conference tournament, he broke his wrist on the rim, then it came out, an agent had bought him a BM, now Jim's NBA prospects look slim, he's back in the hood, running with his man Tim, they drinking and they smoking blood down to the stem, if Jim's not careful, he will be a victim, another young black male caught in the system. But then one day while working out at the gym, he couldn't believe what was standing in front of him. Chocolate honey brown, pretty smile plus trim. Excuse me, what's your name? Hi, my name is Kim. Ah, it's just a simple love story, y'all, y'all. So would you listen up for me, y'all, y'all. And while today is today, don't let that loneliness take you away. Don't let it take you away, wait. It's just a simple love story, y'all, y'all. So would you listen up for me, y'all, y'all. And while today is today, just let the melody take you away.
Up at 5 a.m., faithfully on her face praising him, thanking him for his the bottom, fight a gym. On the bottom left is Kim. At the pinnacle is him. So the closer Jim gets to him and Kim gets to him, the closer Jim gets to Kim. And that's the end. Peace. It's just a simple love story, y'all. So would you listen up for me, y'all? And while today is today, don't let the bitterness take you away. Don't let it take you away. It's just a simple love story, y'all. So would you listen up for me, y'all? And while today is today, just let the symphony take you away. As we do it like.
I'm gonna see you. for a long time. They reached the foot of the mountain and they started to climb. Penelope got scared, not sure if she could keep going because the mountain was very, very steep. On top of that, it was now dark outside. The dove said,
"Keep your eyes on me, I'll be your guide."
Getting to the top was a difficult trip, but the dove was there to pick her up whenever she slipped. And she was so excited when they got near the top that she didn't even stop when her knapsack dropped. The dove led her to the palace and said,
"Farewell, see you inside."
He flew away, Penelope rang the bell. A huge angel answered, looked her up and down. She knew something was wrong because he had a big frown.
"Can I help you, ma'am?"
"Yes, I'm here for the party. I have an invitation."
He said,
"I'm so sorry. There's no way that I can let you through these doors. The king won't let anyone dirty up his floor."
She didn't understand, so without coming near her, he reached into his pocket and he pulled out a mirror. And for the very first time, she saw that she was dirty. The palace was spotless. She knew she wasn't worthy. As the angel continued,
"I'm sorry, little friend, but
a voice inside the party said,
you can let her in."
The next thing she knew, the prince himself was at the door. He looked at her, smiled, and said,
"There's room for one more."
He reached out and touched her. Instantly, she was clean, wearing the brightest robe that she had ever seen. If the mud kids had seen it, they would have gone blind. "Where'd you get it?" she asked. He said,
"Actually, it's mine."
And as he let her in through the palace door, he sang the sweetest song she ever heard before. He said,
"Long ago, laid aside my crown, became a mud kid, traveled to your town. They kicked me out, didn't want me around, but those who love me get to share my crown."
You learn.
Long ago, laid aside my crown, became a mud kid, traveled to our town.
The song Penelope Judd, and that was once again by Shannon, and that's from his album called Stories. And I think the other one was also from Stories too, called A Simple Love Story. And now this is the 1 Minute Apologist on Truth Be Told Radio.
Welcome to the 1 Minute Apologist.
1 Minute Apologist.
Apologetics seeks to give credible answers to curious questions,
to give a defense.
How do I handle apparent Bible contradictions? If we're not careful, we will approach the Bible as guilty until proven innocent. But that is a sure way to wreck your worship. So this begs the question, what do we do when we come across an apparent contradiction? First, let me say, as I once read, don't assume that the unexplained is unexplainable. We need to trust that given enough time, we could have the proper picture, the big picture, and the research to reconcile that apparent contradiction. We also need to realize that many of the apparent contradictions have already been solved, and by having good resources in your hands, you can find quick answers to those questions that are disturbing you. Another thing that I would encourage you to remember is that it's important for us to know that it's only the original manuscripts that were without error. Now, granted, 99.5% of our manuscripts are reliable in theology and all those important matters. It's things like, did Solomon have 400 chariots or 4,000 chariots? Which is it? Well, that's clearly a scribal error where the scribe added an extra zero. So as we begin to grow in our faith, don't panic. Keep worshiping Jesus, grow in your faith, and just remember that the unexplained is not unexplainable.
Like water in a mop and do
pop, so do the Bible bump, bop, bop, bop.
Come on!
Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi.
We made it through the old, now let's move on to the new and see what we can find.
We made it through the old, now let's move on to the new.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, and Corinthians.
1 and 2.
Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Thessalonians.
1 and 2.
1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. Hebrew, James, 1 and 2 Peter, and John.
1, 2, 3. And don't forget to
do the Bible book.
Singing the Bible book pop, and you can find out more about them at gofishguys.com, gofishguys.com. And next we're going to play a song by Shannon again. This one is him talking about a great theologian named Charles Spurgeon, and this is speaking about him, so you'll learn something. Thanks for listening to Truth Be Told Radio.
Let me make this plain, kids. God is the greatest. He never changes. His ways are blameless. For his own glory and at different stages, he raises up servants to make his name famous. I highlight one particular servant for the purpose of encouraging your worship to the Lord. Furthermore, Charles Haddon Spurgeon was born on the outskirts of London, 1834. His dad and his grandpa were both in the ministry. His mother was praying for his soul since his infancy. Naturally intelligent, rapidly developing, but lacking Jesus' fellowship, that would be irrelevant. The God of his mother unknown. Though Christ was up in his home, the faith just wasn't his own. The Lord answered prayer when, at the age of 10, young Charles became convinced of the wages of sin. For the next 5 years, the Spirit brought conviction, terrors and affliction, aware of his condition. One Sunday morning, though the stormiest snow kept Charles from going in the church he'd normally go. Randomly stepped into a church, heard the words, "Look to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth." And though only heaven knows the name of the preacher, that's the day that Spurgeon became a believer. So merciful, always so purposeful. Those whom he draws find his call irreversible. Immediately after Spurgeon's conversion, obediently, he was earnest to serve him. The Lord poured his Spirit on Spurgeon abundantly. Anyone could see that he spoke with profundity, extraordinary giftedness seen, proclaiming God's mysteries at the age of 15 in a place called Water Beach. Great with the sort of speech that even made the old folks say, "This boy can preach." In fact, he was so crass that after the master of Baptist church snatched him and asked him to pastor. At the time, he was 17 years old, on fire for the King who redeemed his soul. People flocked from everywhere. It was quite a scene. Called to a
church in London at the age of 19. He was more than ready to his Lord. He was dedicated, even though he was never formally educated. If you would have scratched him, he would bleed Bible. A rich prayer life was his means of survival. Amount that he read was truly mind-blowing. Steeped in the writings of dudes like John Owen. And by God's grace, he fed the sheep new manna. In London met his wife. Her name was Susanna. Susanna, Susanna, Susanna. Of God stand to the side, the spirit exalting the lamb who has died. It can't be denied, this man we describe was simply a tool in the hand of his God. To observe this servant, extremely instructive. One word about Spurgeon is he was productive. Preach Jesus, no speakers, loudly he shouted. Each week packed houses of crowds in the thousands. His sermons were published, 62 volumes. He worked almost like he just knew he would die soon. Made mad disciples, passed on his knowledge, established a school to train pastors and college. Sold out to the Lord Jehovah his portion. Also, he built two homes for the orphans, a monthly magazine, plus he wasn't too busy to write books, about 150. God's grace in Spurgeon was manifest, but remember, the best man is a man at best. Yes, he struggled with depression, consistently sick kid. Both he and Susanna physically afflicted. He experienced as a servant of Jesus the power of God made perfect in weakness. Later on comes complications. His stance for orthodoxy got him shunned by his denomination. But through all the hardships and all the controversy, he never stopped relying on the sovereign God of mercy. And when he had finished pressing towards the goal, he entered into heaven at the age of 57. His life is a case of God's grace effectively at work in sinners to leave a great legacy. The proof is many years later in your speakers. We're praising Jesus for raising up the Prince of Preachers. 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 Prince of Preachers.
Sorry for the delay. You're listening to Truth Be Told Radio. And next, what we got for you, this is a song by Shylin. We'll take a break from Shylin and play Guitar Boy 70, and he's from YouTube. And this is Be Thou My Vision. Thanks for listening to Truth Be Told Radio.
Be thou my best.
Welcome to the 1 minute apologist.
1 minute apologist.
Apologetics seeks to give credible answers to curious questions.
To give a defense.
What are the mathematics of marriage? Let's do the math. In the Old Testament, it seems as though when somebody started to struggle in their marriage, they would just simply add to the amount of wives that they already had. So they would do marriage by addition. But in today's culture, what do? When we struggle in our marriage, we do marriage by subtraction. Neither are right. Neither marriage by subtraction or marriage by addition. When it comes to marriage, it's important for us to realize that God would bless people in the Old Testament in spite of themselves, even if it was polygamy, in the same way that He blesses people today, in spite of themselves, even if they had a divorce. God's plan for marriage is to be, as stated in the book of Genesis, between one man and one woman, a husband and a wife, for a lifetime. So it's important when we see polygamy in the Bible, we need to realize that not everything the Bible records, it approves of. What the Bible approves of is marriage between one man and one woman. That's the mathematics of a real working marriage.
Welcome to the 1 minute apologist.
1 minute apologist.
Apologetics seeks to give credible answers to curious questions.
To give a defense. Who made God? Have you ever heard that question before? Well, there's a problem with the question itself, and it's with the word made. No one made God. God is the uncreated creator. He is the uncaused cause of things. And so when we look around at all the things that are in existence, we can say a few things. We can say, for instance, that nothing created something in all of this. But nothing makes nothing. No thing can make things. You might be able to say that everything that exists is an illusion. But then you have to explain the cause of your illusion. Or you might say that the universe has eternally existed. But then we run into the problem because we know that the universe is running out of usable energy according to the second law of thermodynamics. We also know that the universe is expanding. So those two reasons alone let us know that there was a point in time when the universe had a beginning. And the beginning came from God Himself. Who made God? No one made God. God is the uncreated creator.
I see.
was How Great Thou Art, and that was by the man who goes by Guitar Boy 70 on YouTube. So check them out on YouTube. Thanks for listening to me, Melissa Cantrola, on Truth Be Told Radio. And well, we got that next for you in a little bit. Gonna do some more of the 1 minute apologist, and also got Greg Coco, him talking about the creation. It's called Understanding the Creation Account. And you could also check out me, my personal website at smilesandstuff.com. Smiles, SMILESANDSTUFF, smilesandstuff.com. That's me, Melissa Cantrola, your host for Truth Be Told Radio. And got pictures and other things, my testimony on there, tells how I became a Christian, and other things, think too much to mention right now. And thanks for listening to me again on Truth Be Told Radio, and hope you will tell others about our show. We're on Sundays, 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. here on broadcasting through Blog Talk Radio, and our shows get archived on iTunes. That means as soon as they're done recording live, they get posted on iTunes, and you could download them all free, the past shows. Just go check them out. We had different guests during the past too, like Bob Smiley and Pastor Andrew Rapport, Carrie Atala, but it was by the name Carrie Coolidge Atala. Carrie Atala, by the way, she got a new album right now, and I'm going to check out the name again. I forgot the name of it. But you can look at our website, too, at carrieatala.com. That's K-A-R-I. That's how you spell Carrie. And Atala is spelled A-T-A-L-L-A. And that's carrieatala.com. And the album is called Marvelous in Majesty. And that is available on iTunes right now. And later I'll play that the song for you. There's a song that she's currently playing on the radio. It's called The Baby That Would Have Been Mine. And I will play that for you. And hopefully I'll be able to have Carrie on the show again so she can talk about her new album. So thank you for listening to me. Once again, that's Carrie Atala, K-A-R-I-A-T-A-L-L-A, carrieatala.com. And thank you for listening, Melissa Cantrola. And let's see if I got my files ready for you to play. I'm going to play, like I said, 1 minute apologist. And once again, thanks for listening to me here on Truth Be Told Radio. And check out our website at truthbetoldradio.com, truthbetoldradio.com. And here we go with the 1 minute apologist.
Welcome to the 1 minute apologist.
1 minute apologist.
Apologetics seeks to give credible answers to curious questions,
to give a defense.
What is the best explanation for the universe? When it comes to explaining the universe, people offer up different ideas. But really, we only have a few options here. One of the options that people will bring up is that the universe is merely an illusion. But think about that. Can you imagine how that would change our lives? Bobby, slow down. It's a red light. Don't worry about it, man. It's just an illusion. Obviously, that doesn't work itself out in real life. This world, this universe that we live in, is not an illusion. Others would contend that the universe has eternally existed, but this is not the case. We know, according to modern-day cosmology, that according to the expansion rate of the universe and the second law of thermodynamics, which says that the universe is running out of usable energy, that the world could not have eternally existed. In fact, according to the second law of thermodynamics, the universe would have ran out of energy many, many years ago. Third, some would say that the universe popped into being out of nothing. But out of nothing, as someone has once said, no thing comes.
And if that is the case, we'd have to ask ourselves the question, why aren't things still popping into existence out of nothing? Well, things don't pop into existence out of nothing because out of nothing, no thing comes. So what is the best explanation for the universe? The best explanation for the universe is the fact that an uncaused, first cause, creator God created the universe. And that is what we believe, and we believe that that worldview fits reality the best. Welcome to the One Minute Apologist. Apologetics seeks to give credible answers to curious questions, to give a defense. Is hell unjust? Many people would contend that the Christian God is an unjust God because of the viewpoint that hell goes on and on and on forever, for eternity. I've got to admit, when I think about hell, it is agonizing to envision an eternal hell. But I can remember one night I was hanging out with one of my friends, and he said, Bobby, but could you envision hell for one person at least? And as I thought about his question, I thought, well, yeah. Well, what kind of person could you envision hell for? Well, of course, Hitler or a Mussolini or a Mao Zedong or another brutal dictator, say Stalin. Well, you notice what I'm doing, don't you? I'm comfortable with the idea of hell for a certain kind of person. I'm comfortable with hell for a certain kind of person whereby I can set the standard, whereby I can set the rules. You see, if there was no hell, then God would be an unjust God, not a just God. Hell is a place where God metes out his justice. But why eternal, Bobby? Because the sinning goes on forever, according to William Lane Craig. So too, hell goes on forever. Some would say it doesn't seem like it's proportioned accurately. I mean, temporal sins for an eternal hell? Well, again, that goes back to William Lane Craig's statement. If the sinning goes on forever, the rejection of God, the hatred of God, then so too hell goes on forever because the soul goes on forever. It's been said before, there are two rooms when we die, smoking and non-smoking. Jesus Christ in his death on the cross is our way out of an eternity separated from him and an eternity in existence with him. Hell does not show that God is unjust. Rather, hell is the place where God metes out his justice.
I want to talk about some thinking I've been doing about Genesis 1. And I have said frequently on the radio, as people ask me, what do I think is going on there in Genesis 1? That it's a lot easier to say what did not happen than what actually did happen. And what did not happen was materialistic Darwinian evolution. And this is something I've opposed consistently. When I say Darwinian evolution, I mean the neo-Darwinian synthesis or macroevolution. However, zeroing in on exactly how we're to understand Genesis chapter 1 and 2 has been problematic. And basically, there are two sides to the issue. One is the young Earth creationists, and then there's the old Earth intelligent design crowd. And characteristically, each has tried to interpret the text in light of that paradigm. I think they're all making a good faith effort and doing good work trying to understand it in light of the additional scientific facts, if you will, as they understand them. So this isn't to put anybody down. I have the highest regard for people's efforts on both sides of the issue. But I've always felt that there was something else that was kind of missing here, and I've recently stumbled upon a treatment that got me thinking in a whole new way about Genesis chapter 1. By the way, everybody in play has a high view of Scripture too, inerrantists. So that's not the question. And everyone that I'm thinking about also are against Darwinian evolution, so that isn't the option either. The option is, how are we to understand what God means to communicate in Genesis 1? And I've just been reading a book by two authors that are from Dallas Theological Seminary. I can't remember their names, but the book is called In the Beginning, We Misunderstood. I want to commend it to you just for your consideration. But it's got me thinking because basically they are asking a foundational hermeneutical question. And that question is, how would the people the book was written to by the original writer have understood those writings? Well, that's a good question. That's the right place to start with any biblical question. So who was the original writer? Well, Moses was the original writer. That's the classic conservative understanding. If Moses was the original writer, then when did he write this? Well, this is the Pentateuch. It's the first of the five books. This is the first five books, and Genesis is the first of it, and Genesis is the book of beginnings. And so this must have been written after the Exodus and before conquering the land, possibly during the time God was giving the law and before the wanderings. But what was it meant to do? Remember what was happening to the people to whom Moses was writing. They had been living for over 400 years in Egypt. They had very little connection theologically with their roots, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They had been slaves for all of this time, and now God sends a deliverer, Moses, and Moses delivers them by showing that he is the true God through the 10 plagues and the deliverance through the Red Sea. Now Moses is educating them about the true God and about beginnings by contrast with the Egyptian cosmologies that they have been raised with in that culture. Now, in Egyptian cosmologies, parts of creation were gods, Ra, the sun god, for example, and a whole host of others, and many of the plagues, all of the plagues were actually against Egyptian gods to show that the God of Israel was bigger than their gods. So in this accounting that we see in Genesis, what do we see? We see an accounting of how everything began. We see an accounting of the beginning of the problem and the beginning of the solution, which entails something important of the nation of Israel. And so the beginning starts, in the beginning Yahweh created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formless and void. That means it wasn't habitable, and there was nothing living in it. And then the rest of the first chapter explains how God organizes the habitation and populates it with things. But notice how he does it. He creates the lights, which are for seasons and days and things like that. The lights he created. They're not gods. They don't even have names in the Hebrew cosmology. They are just functionaries. That's all. They're not deities. Then he creates the animals. Then he creates Adam and Eve. And it's not clear at all that the first 4 or 5 days are solar days. The sun is created late. Certainly doesn't seem that the sixth or the seventh day seem to be 24 hours. The sixth day is too long, and the seventh day is eternal. That's not the point of the passage. The point is more of a framework hypothesis showing that God is the one responsible for the order of the world, and all of these particulars are in sharp contrast to the Egyptian cosmology that the Jews had been raised with. Moses is saying this is how it really happened. God is God, and he depersonalizes nature in this account. And then following that are what's called the Toledoths. In the generation of. 8 or 9 times we see statements like that. And what this is meant to do is to give the Jews a sense of their own history, that not nature being God, but God being God over nature. He had just demonstrated in the plagues, and now Moses is describing how he made all these mere things for man's purpose. Man is a center of creation, but there's a problem. God then creates a rescue plan with Abraham, and the nation of Israel, this nation now that is moving towards the promised land, is an important part of it. This is the purpose of the book of Genesis. So in one sense, trying to squeeze Genesis 1 into either a young earth scenario scientifically or an old earth scenario scientifically is to miss the point, because it wasn't meant to give a scientific or maybe even a chronological day-by-day characterization, but to show who was responsible for the world and explaining the categories of creation, not necessarily the order of creation or the time it took for God to do it. Now, there's something to chew on. I have a lot more thinking to do about this myself, but it adds some new details into the discussion that to me are fascinating and hold a lot of promise for resolving some of the conflict that there is between parties on what Genesis 1 actually means.
That was Greg Kokol speaking. and you're listening to me, Melissa Canchola, on Truth Be Told Radio. And next, what we're going to do for you is Carrie Atala has a new album called Marvelous and Majesty, and I'm going to play her song. This is called The Baby That Would Be Mine. Thanks for listening. Truth Be Told Radio. That was just part of the song, Baby That Would Be Mine. And if you want to hear the rest, you could get her album at on her page through, well, actually, you could do it through iTunes. And iTunes, and also her website called KarriAtala.com, KARI. Then ATALLA.com, KarriAtala.com. And thanks for listening to me, Melissa Canchola, on Truth Be Told Radio. Let's see. Next, I'm going to play for you. This is a song by Go Fish, and this is called It's About the Cross. Thanks for listening. Truth Be Told Radio.
About the manger where the baby lay. It's not all about the angels who sang for him that day. It's not just about the shepherds or the bright and shining star. Oh, not all about the wise men who traveled from afar. It's about the cross. It's about my sin. It's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. It's about the stone that was rolled away so that you and I could have real life someday. It's about the cross.
That's why we say
Thank you. Picasso is dead.
Yeah.
Jimi Hendrix and Janis Joplin are dead.
Yeah.
Marilyn Monroe is dead. However,
Jesus is alive.
Yeah. Brando is dead. James Brown is dead.
Yeah.
Princess Di and John Lennon are dead.
Yeah.
Biggie Smalls and Pac are dead. However,
Jesus is alive.
Give praise to King Jesus, the blessed Son, victorious, glorious, resurrected one. To him belongs the power, glory, and honor. Ascended where he sits at the right hand of the Father. At the cross he made atonement, his people he saved. After 3 days he was raised and defeated the grave. By faith the elect behold him, his scepter is golden. He must have been hot and slippery because death couldn't hold him. The spotlight is on today's icons. In 1,000 years nobody will care, their light's gone. But at that time Christ will still shine bright. He's not in the limelight. Light, he is the limelight. Criminal minded, you've been blinded. Looking for the body of Jesus, you won't find it. We never lack spirit, letting you cast hear it, cause it soon is empty like most secular rap lyrics.
Plato is dead, Socrates is dead,
yeah.
Aristotle and Immanuel Kant are dead,
yeah.
Nietzsche and Darwin are dead. However,
Jesus is alive.
Yeah. Buddha is dead, Muhammad is dead,
yeah.
Gandhi and Haile Selassie are dead,
yeah.
Elijah Muhammad is dead. However,
Jesus is alive.
Yeah.
Throughout history, there's been mad religious leaders, prophets, preachers, scholars, teachers. But when it came to the grave, no one could climb out. That's where Jesus stands alone, like taking a time out. And don't be misled, I got a level head. No resurrection, Christianity would have never spread. The disciples weren't stupid guys who would ruin their lives and then choose to die for what they knew was a lie. That would be beyond ridiculous. Not an issue is the risen Christ seen by 500 eyewitnesses. Imagine 500 people in a court of law, each of them taking a stand reporting what they saw. If their stories lined up and made sense, the evidence would have to leave you convinced,
no doubt.
But still it's by faith that we trust and praise the Son who was raised for our justification. Check it out.
Nero is dead, Constantine is dead,
yeah.
Genghis Khan and Attila the Hun are dead,
yeah.
Alexander the Great is dead. However,
Jesus is alive,
yeah.
Yeah.
Napoleon is dead, Lao Tzu is dead,
yeah.
Che Guevara and Henry the Eighth are dead.
What?
Saddam Hussein is dead. However,
Jesus is alive. Through faith in Christ, we've been saved from hell. Because he's risen, it means we'll be raised as well. In glorified bodies fit for the new earth. For now, we participate in the new birth. The universal reality of the true church. With resurrection power, watch the spirit do work. United with Christ, we reside in his light. Abide in his might, keeping stride as we fight. The pride in our life, the lies and the spite. We strive to be wise as he guides. Through the night, he'll chide and he'll slice. Recognize that he's right. His brightness inside lights our eyes. And it's tight, decided to die to wash white all our strife. His life was the price to the light in his wife. He told death sight just to rise like a kite. All eyes on the Christ, let's prize him tonight.
Pharaoh is dead, Cyrus is dead,
yeah.
Darius and Sennacherib are dead,
sure.
Nebuchadnezzar is dead. However,
Jesus is alive,
yeah. Yeah. Caesar is dead, Herod is dead,
yeah.
Annas, Caiaphas and Judas are dead,
yeah.
Pontius Pilate is dead. However,
Jesus is alive,
yeah,
yeah. He's alive, y'all. He's alive, y'all.
What?
He's alive, y'all. Yeah. He's alive, y'all. All praise to the risen one, the Lord Jesus. What? Yeah.
That was Jesus is Alive by Shylan. And it's going to be Melissa Cantrella on Trippy Toll Radio. And next, what we're going to do for you, we are going to play, this is a song that is called, let's see, this is Jared Dubba singing a song called Enslaved. Here on Trippy Toll Radio.
We're going to be excited about it because God is using a young man in the kingdom. We want to welcome from Valley Church, Jesus Disciple. He's going to rap for us right now. Thanks, Jared, for being here, brother.
Yeah. Thank you.
right. This might be a little different from what you're used to hearing on a Sunday morning, but I'm doing this to proclaim the gospel, so here we go.
Enjoy your stay. This is a place where sin reigns over the choices made, and everyone lives life with a pointless aim, trying to quiet their souls, but the noise remains. Everywhere you look, you see sin and depravity. It's amazing to me, the most don't realize what's happening. And when I bring it up, people seem to get mad at me. They cover up their ears to keep the world from shattering. It's a tragedy, humanity is dead in sin. And it's sad to see the casualties of wretched men who never realize the fact that there's more to life than getting a job, a wife, and a Porsche to drive. If you're alive, your job, glorify God. The more that you rob His glory, then the more it'll cost. You're gonna pay, even though you thought you'd never be caught. When the day of judgment comes and you stand before God, all humanity's enslaved to sin, but Jesus came to set us free and give grace to men. So repent today and put your trust in Him, or in the end you'll experience what justice is. The uprising, the truth will set you free. I'm a living proof of grace and I've been redeemed. The uprising, this world is fast asleep, and we need to wake them up from God's wrath to flee. Go through life oblivious to the fact that they're living in the prison they choose. They're trapped within the sin that they do, and they're slaves to their master, the one that they're obedient to. He's leading them to a place where God's wrath is poured out. That's one of the reasons half my listeners are bored now, because I've chosen to speak truth in my song and reveal what's going on to the foolish and lost. It's not arrogant to claim that you found the truth. In fact, the opposite for me, I was found by truth. And now that I can see, I will shine this light to the darkness, to the world, until the blind have sight. I'm not content with the state of our nation or the rest of the world with the faith that they're faced with. If we don't preach, how can anyone know? It's necessary and it's actually a sin if we don't. All humanity's enslaved to sin. Jesus came to set us free and give grace to men. So repent today and put your trust in Him, or in the end you'll experience what justice is. The uprising, the truth will set you free. I'm a living proof of grace and I've been redeemed. The uprising, this world is fast asleep, and we need to wake them up from God's wrath to flee. All humanity's enslaved to sin, but Jesus came to set us free and give grace to men. So repent today and put your trust in Him, or in the end you'll experience what justice is. The uprising, the truth will set you free. I'm a living proof of grace and I've been redeemed. The uprising, this world is fast asleep, and we need to wake them up from God's wrath to flee. Flee from the wrath to come. Run to Christ. There's only salvation in Christ, in Christ alone.
Well, look, there are some things in life you are naturally going to fear. It's natural to fear illness. It's natural to fear death. It's natural to fear some disaster coming upon the people you love, your children, your family. That's why you protect yourself. It's natural to want to feel safe, to do things that minimize the dangers that are all around us in life. That's why you go to the doctor and get checkups, because there's a healthy kind of fear. But when we talk about anxiety and panic attacks and things like that, we're talking about inordinate fears. We're talking about fears that really aren't attached to anything realistic. They're just those nebulous fears that are out there. Where do you go to get an answer to that? Where do you go to get some deliverance from that? And I will tell you one simple answer, and it needs to be explicated in more detail, but it is simply this. Your anxiety is in proportion to your lack of understanding of the sovereignty of God. That's the first thing. If you are panicked, if you are anxious just in general, if you're a person who worries about everything, then you need your theology strengthened. You need to understand the sovereign purposes of God that He is working out in His providence on behalf of every believer. Now, having said that, let me add one footnote. If you are continuing in sin, if you are committing sin, and you're not repenting and dealing with it before God, you will be anxious, and you will have fear, and you will lose your assurance, because that will be the discipline of God in your life. So, to relieve yourself of fears and anxieties, deal with the sin in your life, and get to know the fullness of your God, your sovereign God, who is working all things for your good and His glory.
That was John MacArthur speaking, and if you want to see more about his YouTube channel, that's where I got from. It's John MacArthur, MacArthur, John MacArthur, John MacArthur, GTY. And his website is gty.org. Thanks for listening to Truth Be Told Radio. And next, we will play a song. This one is called Alone. And this is Shylin singing that here on Truth Be Told Radio.
In the whole realm of human experience, perhaps the worst form of emotional pain is the pain of loneliness. Whether it be the loneliness of desertion, the loneliness of persecution, or even the loneliness of being misunderstood. In each of the following three scenarios, the individuals involved can certainly relate. At this very moment, he's never felt so alone in his life. The only thing he can say that he owns is a knife. Oh, and a pipe. He's trapped in a prison, sadly a victim of his own bad decision. He's finishing up a 10-year bid for foul things that he did when he was still a kid. The good news, he'll be out in less than a week. The bad news, he'll be out in less than a week. It's tough because this news is known by the rugged his crews. They doing life and they got nothing to lose. And they already plotting. In fact, his man stopped him to chat and let him know he should be watching his back. And though his external appearance is rougher than Brillo, on most nights his cries are muffled by his pillow. Because his eyes have seen unspeakable atrocities from suicide to suicide. But yo, peep the dichotomy. He wants to get out, but in a way he doesn't. Because he's not really sure if he can make the adjustment. Plus he's young and black and can't escape from the fact that most of the stats say he'll be coming back. He feels like he might as well rot. He's shell-shocked by hell's plot to keep him in jail, locked in a cell block. The stress is weighing on his mind so heavy, he cries out, Jesus, if you're real, I'm ready. Never felt so alone in his life.
severely afflicted. He groans from the strife, his appearing to visit. For years was predicted, but clearly they missed it. They don't know his type. He came from above, the divine intertwined with mankind. He entered slime, amazing his love for this evil nation, who shows him no appreciation. His life is being cut short like an abbreviation. The same cats who last week held him as the man, they rail and demand for them to nail him through his hands. They fail to understand the scale of what was planned. The torn veil will explain his trail left in the sand. For now, he considers the cat who snitched on him, and even his right-hand man who switched on him. The rest of his friends bounced too and left him hanging, literally, pitifully, flesh dangling. But the most mysterious aspect of the saga, 3 hours spent under the wrath of his father. His dad is who commanded it, his attributes demanded it. The land was doomed to handle this absolute abandonment, the craziest thing the universe has ever known. For the first time in eternity, God was alone. But I guess the part of it that makes it so heavy, he did it for those who cry out, Jesus, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready.
Shailen singing a song called Alone, and his name is spelled, in case you know, S-H-A-I and then L-I-N-N-E, Shailen. And thanks for listening to me, Melissa Cantrella, on Truth Be Told Radio, and see what we got up next for you. We got the 1 Minute Apologist. Thanks for listening to Truth Be Told Radio.
Welcome to the 1 Minute Apologist.
1 Minute Apologist.
Apologetics seeks to give credible answers to curious questions.
To give a defense.
What is annihilationism? I've been building this relationship with a Jehovah's Witness who's becoming a friend of mine. And Jehovah's Witnesses are notorious for the belief in annihilationism. Annihilationism is the belief that there's no such thing as hell. Obviously, atheists believe that as well. But inside the church, there are some who would call themselves Christian annihilationists. That is to say that they would believe that there is a temporary time where God metes out his justice, but the person is like an ice cube. They go into hell and they melt away and no longer to exist in an eternal hell. How are we to understand this idea of annihilationism? Now, granted, the idea of an eternal hell can be hard to wrap our hands around. But what are we to do with the language of Scripture, where it talks about the eternal lake of fire and those who are unsaved being thrown into it? Others would contend by saying that you were destroyed permanently, and they take the Greek word destroyed and they'll say, see, you're going to be annihilated, destroyed. But it's critical for us to understand that in the Greek, the word destroyed is not saying to go out of existence, but rather to no longer be useful for its intended purpose. For instance, if I was drinking a can of Dr. Pepper and I finished it, took my last gulp, and then I stomped on the can, I destroyed the can. But I did not cause the can to go out of existence. The can is no longer useful for its intended purpose, that is, to drink soda out of. The purpose of humanity is to glorify God. And in hell, the person will be destroyed from the opportunity of ever being able to glorify God. Is annihilationism a plausible theological position? I don't believe it is.
Welcome to the 1 Minute Apologist.
1 Minute Apologist. We interview the world's leading apologists to provide credible answers to curious questions.
Larry, if you had 60 seconds with an atheist, what would you want to say?
What I would want them to say is that, and in my own research, I discovered that many of them have encountered and reacted against some form of Christianity or what they thought was Christianity. I would want them to get into the Bible. I would say read it. Mm-hmm. If you don't like your neighbor who goes to church, if you didn't like that youth group that you were a part of, look at what the Bible says. Read it and take it seriously before you form very strong opinions about what it says. I would really want to start them in the Gospel of John. Take just a little bit of time. If the whole Bible is incredibly intimidating to you, start with the Gospel of John and read that book as the author intends for it to be read. Does he believe that Jesus is the Christ? Does he believe that he's the Messiah? Does he believe that he predated all things? I think you'll find it rather compelling. And compare it to other religions. Compare it to other religious texts that you might read. I think you'll find that some of them, in comparison, read like comic books. Mm-hmm. And then see what churches or what Christians seem to reflect what you find there. So I would encourage them to get into the Bible itself.
Our next selection finds us moving through the corridors of a local hospital. As we enter into room 168, we encounter Mr. Smith, who is moments away from death. Let's listen in on his inner monologue.
Yeah.
At the hour towards near to take my last breath, I'm not quite sure how much time I have left. I'm walking the path of all the strugglers who died, and I'm in fear of what awaits me on the other side. As the hour draws near to take my last breath, I'm not quite sure how much time I have left. I'm walking the path of all the strugglers who died, and I'm in fear of what awaits me. Who knew that I'd be shook up as I look up to the heavens and see it's near with IVs hooked up like secrets? It was nice to be kept by Christ. Now every night's a deep sweat from a life of regret to feel it's gone. Was faith real? Not fake like silicone? Fretting like it's okay, like little John was feeling soft. My will was drawn to this common facade. Lord, now I repent for each dent in your armor of God. Knowing this is your name that we defraud, without holiness no one shall see the Lord. My heart I can't mask from you, don't want to be a part of your massacre. Please don't stop my cardiovascular. I hope I rep C-H-R-I-S-T. It's for that I'm so good I could win an SP like Wayne Gretzky. Lord, put my heart at ease, please, before I decrease my BP. And they saying clear, I need CC. I think I'm losing them because I'm bruised from sin within. And don't think I'll see your new Jerusalem. You're just, Lord, I need to be assured. I'm unsure and insecure that wisdom abounds and grace is much more. I need to get confidence, believe in your promises of Jesus' accomplishments. Not help from the drugstore, because mostly my reputation would count the world as defecation. Yet I proceed with trepidation. Sin was wrong and my deadliest foe. Steady wrong, am I ready to go? I pray to God because it's hard to accept. My heart's heavy, you know. I'm not sure if I'm ready to go. Although you had promised I would live again, for believing in Jesus I'm forgiven. Yet I'm shivering from hidden sin, cause in the back of my mind I knew I struggled as my pastime. Now I'm scared to flatline.
Next, we move down the hall to the cancer wing, room 197, the room of Mr. Jones. His situation is very similar to Mr. Smith's. Let's listen in.
As the hour draws near to take my last breath, I'm not quite sure how much time I have left. I'm walking the path of all my brothers who died, and I'm prepared for what awaits me on the other side. As the hour draws near to take my last breath, I'm not quite sure how much time I have left. I'm walking the path of all my brothers who died, and I'm prepared for what awaits me. Life was quick, but these last breaths seem the longest. I'm on the brink of entering everything that you promised. My heart skips thinking of what I'll be in the moment. This joy is undeniably precious fruit of atonement. I cry tears of happiness, cause looking back, I see the track that you sovereignly mapped for me. I see immaculate. The cross of Christ is awesome price, and your grace that carried me. I persevered in shadows of brothers who walked the path of me. In just a few breaths, I walk into a marriage feast and taste of your goodness without getting a cavity. Your majesty will light up the city that we'll inhabit, and the land will be the lamp in the middle. There'll be no PM.
I tremble at the fact that I'll be captured by the blazing glory of the one that I've been waiting to see. And I'll see him. Yeah. To see his face and worship perpetually won't be boring, cause this flesh won't be a hitch anymore. I'll be restored to the morning after morning. And cause you bled death, I'll leave here on his hospital bed and step into the presence of the bridegroom in heaven. No more valleys to tread a trek through. 11 to fight against, all things will be made new. No struggling to pray, we'll sing of your glory with angels. I'm eager to go, I know I'm a part of your kingdom. Upon Christ's seeds, I'll see bliss when the beat comes. My life was long and I'm ready to go. I stood strong and I'm ready to go. Can't wait to sing along with it long up in heaven, you know. It's where I belong, I'm ready to go. My feet are worn down hard from running this marathon in the trenches. Was far from pretending, pressed on with repentance. So now it's time for me to pass the baton and that long last, I'll pass on into heaven.
Finally, as we leave Mr. Jones's room, we travel upstairs to room 235, where we encounter Mr. Michaels, also moments away from death. Let's hear what's going on in his mind.
As the hour draws near to take my last breath, I'm not quite sure how much time I have left. I'm walking the path of all the others who died, and I don't care what awaits me on the other side. As the hour draws near to take my last breath, I'm not quite sure how much time I have left. I'm walking the path of all the others who died, and I don't care what awaits me. Yo. In a hospital bed, blood clots in my head, body chock full of meds, and I got to be fed through a tube. I'm comatose, wet food, aromas gross, pursued lewd moods as a refuge, overdose, frantic seizure, life empty, scary, demanded leisure, anesthesia, temporary amnesia. I'm found in this predicament, surrounded by significant others. My mother is crowded and I'm listening. I hear a person's voice that I don't recognize, praying for me. It must be a reverend in his lies, nurse checking in my eyes, ain't getting no replies. If she knew I heard everything, I bet she'd be surprised. My family's upsetting me with cries. What they crying for? If I could speak, I'd ask the reverend, what he lying for? He said something about believing in the Lord. That's ridiculous. We all know that Jesus was a fraud. Atheism is logical. Blind faith is comical. Seven-day creation and Satan are mythological. The Bible's full of statements made by men who were shaken, too scared to face the end. The reverend said, don't be hostile to the gospel. Choose it. The only gospel I like is gospel music. He said if I understood him, take my finger and wiggle one. But if I could, if I would have gave him the middle one, because he's wrong and I'm ready to go. Tell him strong, yo, I'm ready to go. If it's on, then it's on, bring it on. I'm ready to go, let's get it on. Son, I'm ready to go. I'm anticipating, hitting the essence. I'll crash through the gate in minutes or seconds. His antics are fake, so I'm dissing the reverend. My last action shaking, my fist at the heavens. Shaking my fist at the heavens, my lifetime pastime, but now no more natural light shines, flatline. Just as I was dissing his name, I'm hit with the flame as my soul left my physical frame. Frightened, my senses heightened, defenseless against this relentless lightning. A stampede of thunderclaps, I can't breathe, it's like I'm running laps with my lung collapse. I can't leave, I'm fucking trapped. Meanwhile, I am no longer seen now. The life I lived in the body, that feels like the dream now. And I've awakened to a real life nightmare. It's quite clear, no use putting up a fight here. My destiny is sealed. A true catastrophe with future agonies that have yet to be revealed. And that thought alone is such a blow to me, it's terrible. Cause what I'm feeling right now is totally unbearable. I'm disembodied, met my worst fear, mentally. Every second like a year, every year a century. No one that I can call. I'm crushed under a wall of holy fury, amazed by the justice of it all. Getting what I deserve, in fact my soul is burning black. I cross over the threshold, never to be saved. Eternal is the furnace and it ain't no turning back. Oh God, just let me send my fam a letter from the grave.
Having lunged fist first into a fixed state of horror and agony, Mr. Michaels attempts to gather his bearings. As he scrambles to find a way to warn his family, little does he know that, as sincere as he may be, the following efforts are sadly in vain.
Oh God, I'm in agony right now. I'm in agony in this fire. Please. Please, can I just warn my family? Just let me go back. If I can't go back, just
parents, my sisters, my cousins, my nieces, friends, co-workers, everybody needs to read this. You're probably thinking I'm in heaven smiling down upon you, but it's not true. I'm writing this now to warn you. I'm serious, wish I could put a gun in your face. Whatever it takes to make you listen, don't come to this place. I made tons of mistakes when I was there with y'all, certainly. The worst by far was not preparing for eternity. It's crazy. I don't even know how to tell y'all, but I'm in hell, y'all. And I know it's upsetting to hear, it's upsetting to be here, but I write so you get it and see clear. I don't have all the answers, I grope for more, but there are a couple of things that I know for sure. Reincarnation is a lie, there's no such thing as Satan lie. Getting to heaven through meditation, that's a lie. Yo, it's vital we build, homicidal I feel, your pride will be killed. The God of the Bible is real, y'all know. I ain't read the Bible a day in my life, but he's the one who's inflicting all my pain and my strife. So get a Bible and read it, whatever you read, believe it. After believe in, eat it, sleep it, and breathe it. There's much more to this man Jesus. Observe the story, and I can tell you that there's no such thing as purgatory. What I wouldn't give to have your opportunity. I see my pride is ruining me. Ignoring God is lunacy. There's no comfort, all shame, no peace. There's no slumber, all pain, it don't cease. So don't be lax when attack with distractions. The fashions and attractions have me relaxing. Now I'm awake for the first time ever. But from the goodness of God's works, I'm severed. Regretting all the tracks that I threw in the trash. Regretting moving fast in pursuit of the cash. Regretting spending all my life trusting myself. Regretting not reading the Bible up on my shelf. Regretting all the stuff in life that had me caught up. Regretting switching the subject when Christ was brought up. Regretting not going to church when my friends invited me.
That was As the Hour Draws Near, and that was by Shylin. And next we're going to play, see, there's a song called, this is called the, let's see, I'll play, and this one's called, and, excuse me, The Jealous One. Thanks for listening, Trippy Toll Radio.
Can't be denied, he stands outside the door. On the other side, his bride and a lover, oblivious to the fact their lies been discovered. So as they embrace and try to make haste, they have no idea what's about to take place. Gun in hand, he longs to understand what would lead his wife into the arms of another man. He thinks back to the day they made their vows, before God, before the minister in the crowd. Exchange of the rings, the joy of the reception. Now a tainted memory destroyed by deception. He has been faithful to her. Now the fire of his desire got him ready to do something hateful to her. He never thought his wife would be just a faker, and that her lust would make her a covenant breaker. The promise of fidelity they made was glorious, but now his jealousy has made him furious. And they can't see the danger those dreams of peace they make could ever ease the pain or appease his anger. He kicks open the door, they jump out of the bed. Don't move is all he said, gun pointed at his head. The screams of his wife as he clutches the covers close. Her lover spoke to plead for his life. The husband says to the God, look me in my eye. My face will be the last thing you see before you die. The husband cried inside, his love was bona fide. Trouble for the bride, double homicide.
How quickly we are to break the vows we made. As our unbelief leads our hearts astray. How long before he turns his face away? Would you belong to the jealous one? Would you belong to the jealous one? Who's love all the battles between ones? Our worship and praise. Yeah.
God of the Bible who invites our trust must be understood to be nothing like us. Most of the time, human jealousy will hurt you. But when it comes to God, his jealousy is a virtue. One of his awesome perfections, surely, thunders his law and protects his glory. He gave us the gift of the marriage relationship to acquaint us with the faint taste of this. A wife for a husband, a husband for wife. The only time jealousy is right in his life. But just as the distance is great between earth and stars, God's thoughts are much higher than ours. So his jealousy is on a whole other level, unintelligible to the soul of a rebel. But in sacred scripture, God paints the picture, the aim to shake your frame is straight conviction. And that's what it should do. God's jealousy is frightful, and yet it's delightful and good too. I couldn't think of much worse if I tried than a dude who smirks if you flirt with his bride. So tell me, what kind of God would he be if he wasn't bothered to see idolatry? Is God just supposed to laugh and withhold his wrath when he's replaced by a golden calf? You say, I don't worship a golden calf. Well, for us, it's self and sex and loads of cash. Atrocious past, we still don't know the half of how these things provoke his holy wrath. And so we stand in awe and wonder how come God took his jealous anger out on his son. So all those who cross him can see like we're supposed to see and be forgiven of our spiritual adultery.
How quickly we are to break the vows we made as our unbelief leads our hearts astray. How long before he turns his face away?
That was Shylin with the song The Jealous One, and I do believe that's from the album called The Tributes of God. So if you like that, please check it out. It's got a lot of great music. Got about at least 3 albums that I know of. And his name is spelled Shai, and then last name Linne, Shylin. And thanks for listening to me, Melissa Cantrola, this time on Tribute Toll Radio. Please join us next week, 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Pacific time. And thanks again for listening. And check out our website, truthbetoldradio.com. Truthbetoldradio.com. And we'll go out as we came in with Go Fish singing the B-I-B-L-E. Bye for now.
The B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. The B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me.